Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. We've been kind of on a track here. That's what this is. This is kind of bumping around. Been on a track since the 1st of July on traits of the Christian life. I'm glad to be a Christian. Anybody else? We talked about giving, we talked about loving, we talked about serving. Those are all three very powerful parts of being a Christian. This morning, we're going to talk about praising. Because you see, I believe that people that know the Lord Jesus Christ are people who praise. Let's see here. Wouldn't you know that the day that I have to sit down, this thing's going to be weird. I worked too hard on the PowerPoint for it to not work, so we're gonna make it work, I'll tell you what. Let's see what happens. Nothing. I don't know why. Let me see. It just wanted me to get up. You've experienced that at home, right? When you just sit down, gotten all comfortable, and then something makes you have to get up. I want us to, can you see this, see that over here where you're at? I would like for you to join with me and let's read this together. Out loud, loud. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. All right, that was practice. I want us to say it again. And read this expressively. In other words, not just the words, but read the phrases and think about what you're reading. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. My Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. To me, that makes it extremely important for us to praise. And there's something about it when God's people all join together and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In reality, we cannot think about praise and really not attach thanksgiving, because thanksgiving goes right along with praise. Throughout the year, around Thanksgiving particularly, and other times, we talk about thanks quite a bit, but we don't zone in on just the praise portion, and that's what I want us to look at specifically today. Praising and thanking God are natural to the Christian. For we realize our utter dependence upon him. He's our life. I don't know about you, but I find myself quoting Paul so often, in you I live and move and have my being. I would be empty without the Lord. Is that the way you feel? C.M. Hansen said it like this: praise is like a plow set to go deep into the soul of the believer's heart. It lets the glory of God into the details of daily living. I like that. There's something freeing about praising the Lord. Harold Lindzel says it like this: the continual offering of praise requires stamina. We ought to praise God even when we do not feel like it. Praising Him takes away the blues and restores us to normal. It may be it's most effective when we don't feel like it, to just begin to praise the Lord. You say, oh, but I feel so bad, and this is happening, and that's happening. Granted, we all have stuff that is happening in our lives. But if you will push past it and begin to praise the Lord, you will find a freshness, a liberty, a breakthrough that can only come as we are inhabited in His praise. Let's see. Praising God is an integral part of the spiritual life. In praising, we find balance and perspective for life. I believe that. I believe that as believers, that learning to praise can help us find balance in our lives. Because there are too many things that you cannot explain. Something has to happen with all of those unexplainables. Either they will cripple you and rob you of your faith, or you just literally shut down. If you concentrate on the unexplainables, you see, He's God, and His actions, His movements, His responses, even in the things that He has promised us, He is on His time, not ours. And so often that becomes confusing to us. I heard a statistic this week that I'm still trying to digest. And statistics are what they are, okay? But in 2006, 23% of the people in the United States called themselves evangelical Christians. The study by the same firm, same organization, in 2021 found 14%. So from 23% to 14%. For the first time, more people in the United States claim to be agnostic or atheist than evangelical. I'm telling you, if you do not learn and walk in what it really means to be a Christian, it will die in you. It will die in you, and you will not even know where it went. You will look up one day, and where you were, where you did have a fire for the Lord, where you were excited to be in His presence, it will be just nothing but numbness. We have to walk in our faith. It's not enough to just acknowledge Jesus as our Savior with an expectation of going to heaven. This is a new creative life in Christ Jesus. It is a life of giving. It is a life of loving. It is a life of serving. It is a life of praising. I'm going to take you a couple more here in the next few weeks, but even with just these, giving, loving, serving, praising God, If we're not invested in these things, look at your life, Christians. Look at your life. If you're not invested in these things, you're setting yourself up for discouragement, bewilderment. Again, because there are too many unanswered questions that exist in the conflict, if you will, between our faith and the realities of this world. Now, I know you may feel like that's a strange thing for me to say as a pastor, because I believe this book, and I believe that the general principles that are needed, if you're in this book, the Spirit of the Lord will cause those to rise up within you, and you will have the understanding that you need to make all the decisions that are necessary. However, it does not say specifically in here many of the things that we're dealing with today. There's not a computer in the book. There's nothing in there about the world source that we live in today, where when something happens on the other side of the globe, we know about it as it's happening. Even during World War II, it would take months, many times, at least weeks, before a report ever got back to the United States and was put together and then issued out to the people. We're not there anymore. We're in a day where everything in the entire world is happening before our eyes right now. And you know what? I really don't think we were built for it. I don't. I don't think in our humanity that we were built to handle all of the world's problems every moment of every day. We need Jesus. And we need to be walking in Him in the plan that He has laid out for our lives. Like many things, we're going to talk here about praising, but you can just let it go whoosh, right over the top of your head, or you can even say amen to something that I say here today, but before you go out those double doors back there in the back, it is stolen by all the stuff that you have out in front of you today, and that's it. It's gone. Or you can reach out and claim it as part of your life and begin to look for it, begin to own it. This same survey, if you will, that I was reading this week talked about the number of young people that are walking away from the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it has to be active. Pastor Steve and I have had many conversations over this, and in searching in everything that we could find, in everything we could uncover, we could only find one thing that has hope for a young person continuing to serve the Lord after they leave high school and go on to college. Only one thing, and that is if they are serving the Lord. If they are not serving the Lord, and all they're dealing with is just the concepts, it won't be enough when they face all the confusion and all the questions and all the stuff that the world has. You see, because when, and I've said this to some of you, even as we've talked in private conversations, you see, you need to know this Bible, not just in the hearing, but in the speaking. You do not know anything in the Word of God until you teach it to somebody else. I'll say that in all honesty and in all truthfulness and believe it with all of my heart, that until you can give it away, you do not have it in your life. And most of the time, we won't try to give it away until it's active in our life. Hello? Learning the reality of giving and practicing it yourself. But then when you find yourself, when others are struggling financially and things, and you say to them, hey, I've learned something, that in giving to the Lord, that He takes care of us from there. You see it? It becomes truth in you as you hear it, as you live it, and as you give it away. Same way with loving. The challenge, of course, that we brought out, that extreme of love that the Christian is challenged by Jesus. Love your enemies. Whoa! That reality, when you express a love, a forgiving love, an agape love of God to someone who has wronged you, all of a sudden, the reality of love in your life becomes very real. Serving. Praising is the same way. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving, come into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. I said, for the Lord is good. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, how much plainer could it be than that, folks? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To be giving thanks, to be giving praise, it should be part of our lives. It is the nature of a man who is after God's own heart. David said it like this, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. My tongue will speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. Hallelujah. You see, I believe, oh, this could get reckless. One leg went off. People who truly have Christ in them are out in the midst of the world, and suddenly His worthiness to be praised will come upon them. Walking through a Walmart, God-forsaken place, and all of a sudden praise comes. It's like giving. He doesn't say, praise me for 2 hours and 45 minutes. He just says, praise the Lord. And so you can walk through and you can go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. You are worthy, Lord, to be praised. And nobody will even know. But maybe it's not a bad idea when they do. What'd you say? I said, praise the Lord. Well, why would you say that? Because all my hope is in Him. Come on, church. It was characteristic of the disciples, you know it, in Luke chapter 19, when He came near the place where the road goes down the hill of Mount of Olives. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Praising the Lord for what He has done. The early church caught praise. Acts 2:47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Praise, praise. Oh, and can I tell you, it is the eternal resound of heaven. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 5, I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000, encircled. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Hallelujah! You might as well get in practice, you know. You want to go to heaven but not to hell, you might want to get in practice, because we're going to be praising the Lord. when we're around the throne. There are three things that prompt our praise. Let me give you the first one. God's worthiness prompts our praise. This is the only one that is not connected to this passage here in 1 Peter. But it's bigger than that, because it's the reality of the entire Word of God. God's worthiness, He is Creator. Nehemiah saw it in Nehemiah 9:6. He said, "You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens and their starry hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you." You know, when we sing our praises today, we're just joining the heavenly choir. Around the throne, they proclaim the holiness of God, continually proclaiming His holiness. You want a beautiful practice? Begin to just speak out to the Lord, "Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord." If you are truly a believer, something will begin to boil down inside of you. It feels something natural. It feels something supernatural, because we are making a heavenly connection at that point in time. He is the Creator God. We cannot forget Him as the Creator God. As science and foolishness proclaim that He is not, it should be in and on the lips of every believer that He is the Creator of heaven and earth. You let go of that, folks, you let go of it all. Truly. When all the science and all of the stuff that they put out there that just does nothing but add questions to our lives, you have to decide, do I believe the truth of the Word of God, or do I believe the ever-changing opinions of man? I don't know if you noticed in this COVID business, but there was a tremendous lesson there concerning science. They were not ashamed of it, but it should be a lesson for us. Science will stand in all security on what they know right now. If they get additional information tomorrow, they will change without any regard or any regret for what they said the day before. Now, that's always been true. We just happen to see it through the media, but it's always been true. As additional information was added to what they knew, they stood there. And yet, as science presents theories and questions, many people are letting go of their faith and believing and putting stock in the questions rather than in the answer of truth of God's Word. Now, I will be the first to tell you that many within the household of faith have overstepped what we were told in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, God did not tell us how He created the heavens and the earth. He told us He did. If He tried to tell us how, we probably couldn't understand it. But because He told us He did, that's where we need to stand. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He is worthy of praise as the Creator God. You see how all this holds together? When you take any piece of this out, You leave yourself vulnerable to questions that you will not have answers to until you're standing in glory. But if you will stand on what God has given you, it will be enough to stand. And faith, by the way, will always be faith. What we want is for faith to become sight. And we start demanding that our faith become sight. But when faith becomes sight, it is no longer faith. So standing in our faith, proclaiming and owning what we believe in God, is praise to God. Come on. You see, it will not matter what scientist, who, or anyone that comes up with a different reason of how this all came into existence than the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. Nothing else will matter. Because again, given more information, they'll change their mind, and that's where they'll stand. I choose to stand in faith that my God created the heavens and the earth, and I will worship Him, and I will praise Him as the Creator, and I will let that become a foundation principle upon which I build my Christian life. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I want to go to a heaven that He created. And I want to live on an earth that He created. And I want to realize that because He is the Creator, He owns everything. And nothing is outside His power. You let go of His creative ability, and you forget to praise Him for it, and it'll slip away from you. And all of a sudden you'll begin to question, is He big enough to take care of that need that's in my life? You see, when I come before Him in prayer, whether it's for your needs or my own, I come before the Creator God. I let that question be settled by faith. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says. You say, well, that's kind of simple. Well, praise God. Because, see, faith has got to remain as faith. If you're waiting for science to back up your faith, you may be waiting a very long time. Because, see, the enemy of your soul does not want you to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. He does not want you praising God. So if he can diminish God, bring God down, put questions in your mind about God, he'll do all of that to take praise away from a believer. I can tell you this morning of the sovereignty of God, who he is, the King of glory, the Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. David recognized him. He is the power. 1 Chronicles 29:12. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things, God. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. He's the source. My God is the healer. I'm thankful for the Dr. Starziak that went in and explored in my knee and took some pieces of bone out this week. I'm thankful that I could stop by and see him when I was having pain. I could say, you know, what's going on here, Doc? And he's been given the knowledge to understand what is happening post-op in my knee. Very thankful for that. But you see, if Bill McKee is healed, it will be because my God has healed my leg. Dr. Starziak can take a knife and cut into my leg, but he has no power to heal this body. My God does. Because he made me. And I just happen to believe what the psalmist said. He knit me together in my mother's womb. I believe that I was a reality and I had a plan by God before I was ever born into this world. Because God created. You know, all creation offers God's praise. God prays. We really don't understand all that's going on in this, in the realm of this world. But listen to this. Isaiah 44 says, "Sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, O earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests and all your trees, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob, his glory in Israel." Wow. Jeremiah said it, and the other prophets proclaimed it. The trees of the field clapped their hands. Listen, there's stuff going on here that you and I are, it's above our pay grade, but something's happening in this world. This world realizes that God is the creator, and trees of the field are glorifying him and praising him. Jesus, they confronted Jesus about the little kids that were praising him. He said, "Look, if they don't praise me, the stones will cry out." He said, well, he was saying something that really couldn't exist. Look out. The Westminster Confession of Faith. I'm not going into all of the background of that, but let me walk through this. It used to be in the early days that they would put together confessions of faith, and the church recited these over and over again because, see, they saw the importance of holding on to what they had. He says, there is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, and passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, and most absolute. They were encouraged to say that every day. Come on. We need to first learn to praise him because he's worthy. Come on, church. Father in heaven, we praise you. You are the Almighty, most powerful, Creator God. The fact that you allow us to come into your presence is awe-inspiring. We praise you this morning. In this house, we praise you for who you are. Thank you for the revelation of who you are. Hallelujah. I should be winding down, but I'm not. If you need to go, you go. I'm going to finish what the Lord gave me. Secondly, our position in God prompts praise. This takes us to 1 Peter. Notice what he says. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's given us that position, that title, so that we could enter in to praise and praise him for who we are in him. Chosen people, that is an elect race. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me." See, this is how naive we are. We think that on one given day we went, "Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to serve the Lord." He chose you. He chose you for your gifting. He chose you for who he created you to be. He chose you. And he called you by his Holy Spirit. You could never have found the Almighty God were it not for his calling and his choosing, his drawing, his wooing. It's amazing to me when you're in a service and the Spirit of the Lord is moving in that service, and one person will say, "I need Jesus." when there are others who need Jesus. But the Spirit's wooing, the Spirit's calling, the Spirit's drawing, draws them in. They are elect. I know that bothers some people. Oh, you mean God leaves some folks out? No, I believe that all men have their day. That's my own personal feeling. But on any given day, He will call this one, or this one, or this one. Can't ignore that Spirit leading, that Spirit drawing in our lives, because it is God giving us special attention, calling us out to be His chosen people. How many believers do we have in here? Let's see your hand. Okay, hold it up there just for a second. Now, turn to somebody and said, you are chosen. Yeah. You are chosen. You see, it should have bearing on how we think of ourselves. It should have bearing on how we treat one another. It should have bearing on how we praise the Lord, because we are His, because He chose us to be His. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the people on the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be His treasured possession. Romans 9, I will call them my people who are not my people. I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. It's a quote from Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. He is speaking to the Gentiles. He said, I'm not only choosing Israel. He said, I'm going to choose whosoever's. I'm going to call them. Why praise the Lord? What should prompt our praise? An awareness that we are His choice. He calls us a royal priesthood. That's the basileon. It means a palace or a king's court. He's saying, you are the king's court. You are part of me. First Peter 2:5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Offering spiritual sacrifices. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the Lord as His holy court. Revelation 1:6, He has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. Can I tell you, we are a holy nation, a hagios, separated unto God, a people belonging to God. Folk, we've got to get ourselves unattached from this world. Our kingdom life has got to become more to us than our life in this world. Our affections need to turn to the nation of the Lord that we have been redeemed and purchased to be a part of. I'm telling you, if you don't, your enemy lurks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Apathy will lead away from the Lord. This praise is part of what holds us in. Peter says it right there. Here's the reason for our position, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Verse 9. Let me give you the last one here before I'm totally done. This one you may not think about. Our lives in this world prompt praise. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, boy, I wish I had time to go into that. I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You see, that is to say that your and my lives will bring praise to the Lord on the day of his return. You know what it'll sound like? It'll sound like they were right. They were right. When they were leaning into God, when they were trying to live holy lives, when they were trying to separate themselves from this world, they were right. When they said that Jesus was coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, they were right. Philippians 2 says it in this way, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know how they're going to know? Because some believer told them about Jesus. Perhaps they rejected him. They rejected that person. They, what did he say? They accused you of doing wrong, but you didn't hide your witness. You didn't hide the realities of your faith. And on that day, in the coming of the Lord, a proclamation will go forth. They were right. It would not surprise that there will be those who will stand and say, God of Jim Yergin, forgive me, let me into your heaven. God of Tim, forgive me, give me entrance into your heaven. God of Bill Kramer, accept me into your heaven. Don't reject me. You see, because all they're going to know about him, they're not going to know him personally. They're not going to know about him. They're going to know about him through our lives. And the life that we have lived will live on into their lives. And even those that reject the Lord on the day of his appearing, Peter says, they will give praise to God through our lives. Praising God is an integral part of our spiritual life. In praise, we find balance and perspective for life. But what prompts our praise? It should be God's worthiness, our position in God, and the lives of people in this world that need a witness. They're watching, church. They're watching to see what you do with the questions. They're listening to see how determined is your faith. Can it be bent by their questions or by their ugliness? See, that's the reason why at the end of the book of Ephesians, Paul says, having done all to stand. He said, put on the full armor of God so that when you've done everything, you're still standing. I want to still be standing. I think I heard you say this morning that, quote, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. That's what I'm listening for. Learn how to love. Learn how to serve. Learn how to praise. It's going to be necessary. I don't know. How many can see that things are getting pretty rough? It's not just the statistic that bothers me. 23% in 2006 to 14% in 2021. That just confirms what I already see and sense in my spirit. It's getting rough. If you're going to continue to serve the Lord, you're going to have to be practicing being a Christian. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that we've had this time together, a time to lift our voices around these beautiful songs and to offer you our praise, a time to study in your word and see what a value we have in you and in who you have made us to be. God, help us to take hold of our Christian life. This isn't a time where we can coast. Your Spirit is saying that to us in many different ways. This is the time. This is the day for your people to really begin to live their Christian life in this world. Help us, O Lord, whether we live long enough to see you come back or whether we die in the flesh but live in the spirit. May we leave behind a legacy of hope, of truth, of who you are. A Christian life that has worth, eternal worth. I thank you this morning for this time. I pray that if there's one soul in this room that you are calling and drawing today, that before they would leave this room, they would come and let us pray with them. Give their life to you and have life everlasting because you live. Praise you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us. Remind us, even as we go through this day, remind us that we are a people of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You are loved by God and us. May you have a great day in the Lord. These altars are open if you'd like to spend some time with Him. If you want to know Jesus, we would love to pray with you. God bless you today.